How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. It is yet another late show, so we don't really know where this one's going to go. We have a topic that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Kobe-Kawhi Leonard dynamic. Apparently, some Spurs coaches were telling Kawhi to learn from a few things that Kobe did or whatever, was showing him tape. Harrison, you have the exact details on that. But before we get to that, make sure you're listening to the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silverscreen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using those promo codes on SeatGeek and Mack Weldon. Let's just go ahead and let's knock this out, right? So you have the details, you have the source and all these good things as far as where you saw that Kawhi was learning from Kobe.
Yeah, once again, Anthony does not read things. Just as a reminder, I don't think I've made fun of him for this in a while. And so in Jonathan Abrams' piece about Kawhi Leonard that he had today for Bleacher Report, it's actually really interesting. I think if you're a fan of the game, if you're a fan of Kawhi Leonard's game at all, you should definitely read it. And or just if you're a fan of good sports writing, it was really well done. But Chip Englund, who is an assistant coach for the Spurs, renowned Spurs shooting coach, and he's the one that kind of famously worked with Kawhi. And he talked about how all shooters that get good, they've worked on their shot and they've put a lot of time into it. And he said, I didn't have to spend and get to know him and get personal with his shot. I used Richard Jefferson as a model and also used Kobe Bryant because Kobe Bryant has really good shooting form. I didn't know if Kawhi was a Laker fan or not, or a Kobe fan, but you had to respect his work and his shooting. So we used pictures and video of them. I showed him his pictures of where he was, similar to where Richard was. Kawhi's smart, and he goes, let's go to work, let's do it. And I mean, the reason that you pick this out is interesting is because you think that, I guess, among the basketball kind of Twitterati, there isn't a whole lot of respect for Kobe Bryant. He's made fun of as kind of this inefficient gunner, generally kind of disregarded, despite what there's this weird dichotomy where he's regarded as like a top 10 to 15 player by most people, and then he's also joked about as this like inefficient gunner who wasn't actually good and was carried by Shaq and Powell. And so it's like a weird dichotomy between those two opinions that a lot of people have, both of them. And I do think that that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of goes to show, like, the Spurs are always held up as this, like, the franchise, right? Like, everything that the Spurs do is so much smarter and so much further ahead than everybody else, unless you're the Golden State Warriors and you're still convinced you're light years ahead of everybody when you lucked into paying Steph Curry because his ankle was about to break. But, like, the Spurs are held up as this franchise, and they're held up as, you know, being further ahead on the analytics movement, and they usually aren't the kind of franchise that you would think is, you know, hey, look at what Kobe did. This worked for him. And now the shooting form is like one thing, because Kobe's form was damn near perfect. Like, it was I'm a shooting form nerd. And like, there's like the J.J. Redick and the Klay Thompson type of shooting form where the ball never leaves the shooting pocket until it's absolutely time, and it stays on the right side of their body. And that's like the video form or the YouTube clinic on how to shoot a basketball. But Kobe, to me, I actually liked his shot the best of just about anybody in NBA history, because he was able to jump, you know, use all of his verticality, his vertical ability, and still put a decent release on it with a consistent arc. It was just a really good shot. And yes, he probably shot from inefficient spots. He's probably the greatest bad shot. Yeah, the greatest bad shot maker in NBA history. Like, the one thing I would say in everybody's top five memories of Kobe Bryant, one of those top five things are Kobe goes up for a shot. No, Kobe. Oh, okay, yeah, that was a great shot, Kobe, because the ball went in. You know, it was just he would take these really dumb shots, but they would sometimes go in, and that was because of his form. It was because his form was pretty clean on just about every single one of those releases.
Yeah, and I mean, when you picture Kobe shooting, it's not the perfect release ones that you're really picturing most of the time. It's the ones where he was falling backwards, one of his legs was above his head, and, you know, like, he's just barely getting the ball past the fingertips of, like, five defenders, and it ends up either going in or clanking. You know, the end result wasn't important, but that's how I remember Kobe shooting. But then when you go back, I mean, when you watch him play, and most of the time his form was just about perfect.
Yeah, and it says something, though.
Had, like, a broken finger, he went back and adjusted his shot to make it so that he could still get shots off.
He was releasing it. He changed
which fingertip it was coming off.
Yeah, like most shooters release the ball off of their pointer finger. And he changed it because I think he broke his pointer finger, and he changed it to shoot it off of his, like, middle finger or ring finger.
Which, shooting it off your middle finger is, like, the ultimate Kobe thing.
Yeah. But it really kind of goes to show that this guy was just, he was a nutcase. And I'm telling you right now, like, it's one thing to notice which finger you're releasing the ball off of, but then to notice it and change it in the middle of an NBA season with a broken finger, that's insane. And, like you said, to still put good shots on it, like, nobody would have noticed unless he would have pointed, like, he didn't point it out, or the people, you know, shooting coaches around him didn't point it out. And it's pretty insane. Do you think from Kawhi, I haven't really studied his shot from last year to this year, comparatively speaking. And somebody gave a good snarky tweet, something along the lines of, like, Kawhi's shooting was down this year compared to last year. Which,
I mean, to be honest, it probably is, because he's shooting a little bit more. He's a bigger centerpiece of the Spurs offense, so his shooting probably is down, although I would be hesitant to blame Kobe for that one.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back into this season and just find, like, if there's any video of Kawhi, like, heaving up a fall-away 22-footer with
his
people
jaw
on
jutting
him.
Out.
Yeah. Like, it would be, if I was Kawhi, if Kawhi had any personality whatsoever, he should totally buy into this and just once do, like, the jaw jut and see what
happens. Hey, the lead to that Abrams profile is that Kawhi did make a joke once.
I saw a good,
like, his teammates remember it and everything.
There are good HEB commercials, like, with him in it. Like, there was an origami one that I saw.
Yeah,
today
they said that those things, like, that he kind of that he ad-libbed some of that. I don't buy it. I'm staying woke on that. Kawhi was absolutely, like, somebody else ad-libbed them and told him what to do.
Yeah, I don't think he can ad-lib.
Although he's smiling in his NBA.com picture, which I didn't expect. And just to clarify, he is shooting over 2% worse from the field this year. So Kobe worse, I guess.
But I think regarding the Kobe conversation, and we you know, I kind of riffed and ranted about this, I think it was last week, talking about, you know, prior NBA players and the way we kind of look at them. It's just, it's stupid to me how multiple things can't be true. Like, Kobe could be really, really good, and he played with Shaq, which made him better. Right. But I think if we look back on it, I would love to see Kobe's career play out without Shaq. And I think it's somehow the way we look at Kobe without Shaq, he could have won less, I would say. He could have won less without Shaq. And the non-Laker slash Kobe stands would probably look at him in higher regard had he not played with Shaq. And to me, it just...
I don't know that you'd have that level of Kobe stand-em without him playing with Shaq, though, and winning the three rings to start his career. Well, because so much of his persona and that Black Mamba brand ethos was built on, I am a winner.
Yeah. But he's also, like, if he replaces one of those, or, you know, one or two of those rings with one or two additional MVPs.
But do you think he would have won even one without Shaq that early in his career? I don't know that that's true.
I mean, I don't...
I guess it depends on where he gets drafted or what type of team he ends up on, but I don't know that that's accurate, at least that quickly.
He was still a top five player in that era. Like, that was the insane thing about him and Shaq, was that those guys were arguably two of the top five players in the league at that
time. I'm just saying there's less of a guarantee. I mean, you can be a top five player and not be on a championship contending team. Look at Westbrook right now.
Yeah, or Garnett from that era, too.
Exactly. So, like, you can be a top five player at the time and not even be close to contention.
Right, but I still think, though, like, even if we say he... I think he still wins one of those championships back then. I really
do. You can't
do.
Guarantee it. I'm not. You can't guarantee that he would have won.
But you can't guarantee that he wouldn't, right?
No, I'm just saying I think it's a lot less likely without Shaq, and I think that damages his... that kind of mythology.
Yeah, but I do think if one of those titles
and
is
just
replaced...
the same way that I don't think that people would think that Kawhi is as great if he didn't come in on the Spurs and hadn't done like all of that stuff earlier on the Spurs while they were winning and contributed.
I just think we look
like
back,
his reputation wouldn't be the same. People would obviously still think he's great if he played like he did this year, even if he hadn't won before. But there wouldn't have been that backstory to it.
I think there's a lot more, like, I think the championship or bust thing was something that Kobe helped cultivate, frankly, right? But I also, but I also think, though, that we care about that a hell of a lot more nowadays than we, Harrison is he lost the light, but he, we care about that a hell of a lot more now. In today's era of basketball than we did back when, you know, when we look back on Kevin Garnett's career, when we look back on Allen Iverson's career, when we, like, it's odd that the championship or bust mentality was cultivated back then.
Sure, but are Kevin Garnett regarded as highly post-retirement as Kobe is, as lauded and as worshipped? I don't think so.
I mean, did you see the stuff that people were talking about with Garnett? Like, there was an entire day where people were screaming.
I mean, like,
at me
basketball
that,
Twitter, sure, but the general population, no.
Well, I mean, that's the only exposure I have, really, is to basketball Twitter. And those are the people that I kind of take issue with the most regarding Kobe.
Okay, that's fair.
And like when it comes to,
sure, if the basketball hipsters could feel like hipsters talking about Kobe, then yeah, they'd probably like him a lot more.
Yeah, and I think with...
Okay, so there you go. I think you just won me over with this.
Sure. I guess. I don't even know how I did it, but all right.
If Kobe hadn't played with Shaq, he wouldn't have won as much, and thus he would have been more like Iverson and Garnett, and they'd be able to feel more like hipsters for, like, lauding his accomplishments.
His individual stats maybe are a little higher too. More inefficient, but a little higher in terms of the counting stats.
Possibly.
So that's kind of how I look at this stuff. And what I was starting to say, though, is that multiple things can't be true. Like, we could say that Kobe belongs in the top 7 to 13 players is kind of where I think it's fair to have him if you're ranking him. I have him... I'd probably say he's about 8th, though I spend like very little time thinking about these things. I have him 8th. I think you're crazy if you have him outside of your top 15. And the fact that there was like snark regarding a potentially top 15 player, you know, somebody who's currently in the league right now, learning from a top 15 player that you know, that made somebody want to throw some snark in there just kind of says something about, like, the groupthink that goes on surrounding Kobe on both sides of the issue. I think stands are obnoxious, and I think the NBA hipsters who enjoy shitting on Kobe are just as obnoxious, if not more, because they're smarter, and I think they're overthinking themselves when it comes to how they look at Kobe.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, it was telling to me that one of the first quote tweets we got when I sent out this article about the coaches showing Kawhi film of Kobe to help him improve his shooting was the guy said it was some guy doing in quotes of what the Spurs coaches were saying. And it was, don't do this. Don't shoot over double teams. Yeah. Don't shoot 32% from three for your career. Yep. When you're 3 of 24, dial it back a little.
That last one got me. That was pretty good. But I here's a fun hypothetical. We'll wrap up on this.
Okay.
Do you think the NBA hipsters on NBA Twitter would be as obnoxiously anti-Kobe if he plays alongside Duncan and not alongside Shaq? With the Spurs.
No, they'd be more anti-Kobe if he played alongside Duncan, because he would have gotten into fights with Duncan, and they probably like Duncan better than Shaq.
Do you think it's possible to fight with Duncan?
Okay, they would have been mad at Kobe for bullying Duncan.
Do you think it's possible to even,
like, we would have gotten Duncan stories about, like, Kobe, like, kicking Tim Duncan's PS3 off a table or something.
I mean, I know you're being facetious here, but
yeah. No, I mean, Kobe and Duncan probably would have gotten along better now that I think about it, just because Duncan's a basketball robot. Like,
yeah, well, Kobe, the thing that annoyed Kobe with Shaq, I think, more than anything, was Shaq's laziness. And at no point in Duncan's career have we ever heard anything resembling laziness.
Yeah.
So I think that's a fun hypothetical.
Yeah, I thought about it for a second, and I realized, he probably wouldn't have fought with Duncan. He never would have had anything to argue with him about.
And he'd have been part of the Spurs organization, and I think it's like it's part of NBA religion that you're not allowed to say anything negative about the Spurs.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think, like, as when I walk outside, when I walk my dog in a little bit, I'm probably going to get struck down by lightning for even mentioning that might exist in NBA.
Greg Popovich summoned lightning.
Yeah, there. Yeah. All right, so that does it. This is a little bit shorter of a show. There was less to talk about, obviously. Oh, we just lost Harrison completely. There he is.
No, I'm here.
Yeah. This was a little bit shorter of a show because the Lakers didn't play today and there was very little news. There was Ivica Zubac and Brandon Ingram talking about dominating summer league, to which I kind of wanted to say, like, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. We've been here before. We know that, like, there's
third time's the charm, baby. Loaded summer league Lakers coming for the title.
Is it like an anti-threepeat? Like, the Lakers' success in summer league is like the opposite of their.
They're not even going to make it to the final game this time. They're just going to leave Vegas.
Yeah, they won't even play in the first one, like, let alone the final one or whatever. But that does it for this one. Like I said, a little bit shorter. The Lakers play tonight. They play the San Antonio Spurs. That probably isn't going to go very well. But there is going to be an interesting conversation that I want to have with a Spurs blogger about, you know, the perception of the Spurs and the perception of the Lakers. Like, I think there's an interesting conversation to have there. So that'll be for our next show. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. We try to have a little bit of fun. After tonight, there'll be 4 games left in the Lakers season. We're almost there. Stick with us, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.